go with me this morning to the 40th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel is mainly about Ezekiel's vision, what he had seen. It begins and ends with the glory of God. Many mysterious things in this book, and I think far too often we ignore it because there's so many things that we don't understand. But it all speaks to the glory of God. The Lord told the disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." That's what Ezekiel was doing. In chapter 40, I guess we'll begin there. I keep coming back to certain scripture in this book of Ezekiel. Can't hardly get away from them. Keep coming back to them. It said, in the five and twentieth year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. They're in terrible straits. That's something else that the book is all about, is the scattering of old Israel and the gathering together of new Israel, what we would call in our day the church. And from beginning to end, that's what it is all about, is gathering the church of the Lord together unto the temple. He come to the Lord himself, come to the east gate of the outer court and into the court and up to the steps of the temple, and in the temple through the east gate. And I see in that a renewing of man, as if his arising of the sun. And the Lord come out of the east as rising the sun, new day has dawned. And he entered into the temple, went to the place of the most holy, and was worshipped there. And in the second verse, he said, "In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel." In the 40th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Maybe I did. Okay. I'm kind of thick-headed, you know, this, especially today. 40th chapter of Ezekiel, in verse 2, said, "In the visions of God brought he me unto the land of Israel, and set me up on a very high mountain, by which was the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, and a line of flax in his hand, still measuring the house." Always measuring the house. It's got to be a perfect measurement. I talked a little last week about that measuring. They didn't have a perfect measurement as we did, but once they started the building, they used the same measurement all the way through it. it was always based on the span of a man or from his tip of his fingers to his elbow, but they had used the same man. Yeah. But the measurement really was a measure of the Lord God Almighty and not the building. The whole beauty of the building is the Lord's glory that he's speaking of. When we go back in the first, second chapter, he's talking about all the wheels moving and the glory of the Lord in the whole firmament, in the, over the whole earth. And it all moved together in one movement, never turning around, never going back. He entered into the east gate, and they were told in, enter in the east gate, but go out the south. Don't ever go back through. Go out the same way. That's the way the Lord's always moving with his people. Always moving with the house of Israel, the new Israel. Gathering it together. Yeah. Putting it together to make one. Must be a continuity there. Always the same measure. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass in the land of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. That gate he's talking about now is an outer court. He's coming in, and the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. For in the intent that I might show thee unto thee, art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Yeah. Our challenge today is no different. Show it unto the house of Israel. That's one of the problems we have today, is that they try to take anybody off the street and make a preacher out of him. The whole thing here is that he's showing Ezekiel this house. Yeah. Look at it. Get a hold of it. Understand it. Chew on it a while. Stay with it. And your duty then, after you've seen the house, is tell the people what it is. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, in a man's hand measuring reed of 6 cubits long. That's 20.9 inches, the best they can figure out. So if you don't multiply all those measurements out, that's it. Same man, though he had the same length of his hand, his arm. By the cubit and a hand breadth, just one more hand breadth outside the cubit. Yeah. So he measured the breadth of the building, one reed, and the height, one reed. It was square. Else, other places we'd see it was four square. Yeah. It was complete. It didn't have any schisms in it at all. We talked, Paul mentioned it the other day, about how all the stones were hewn away from the temple and brought there. They were all perfect. They didn't have anything between them. This all come together. One perfect building. We'll look at more of that maybe in the days coming, but it was a perfect building. That's what Ezekiel saw, and that's the reason he told him to measure it. It is exact. And there's a wall around the whole thing. East, west, north, and south gates. Isn't that something? There's one on every side. Come in from every side, but go out the opposite way. Don't ever go out the other way. In the second chapter of the book of Ezekiel, Betty's trying to go there while I go. We'll go now. Okay. Of Isaiah. We can't hardly get away from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the second chapter. He said, in the word of the Lord, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Jews and Jerusalem, it came to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills and all nations flowing to it. Well, a house is being built. It's going to call it all together into one. That's the way the church will be in the final end of things. That it might be one, not have any divisions in it, all come to the unity of the faith. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. This mountain of the Lord, I think, is talking about really his people. But also when we look at the old temple, it was built up on the mountain, raised up high. And as you look at it, there's always some steps going up. Go to the temple gate. There were steps going up. Get up to the main house, and there were steps going up. Always going up. Build me an altar, but build it up. But listen, there's one thing about the altar. There wasn't no steps there, but it was up. The reason for that was that the priest's nakedness might not be seen as they went up to offer sacrifice upon the altar. Right. No any fleshly thing showing. Right. It was all about God, not about man. Upon the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. What's the vision? Where there is no vision, the people perish. So there must be a vision. Now, if somebody comes to you today and tells you he's got a vision, you get away from that dude. Ezekiel had the vision. Isaiah had the vision. We don't have that vision today except in this Word of God. Amen. And he will teach us his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and he shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Just a note here, upon all the doorposts at the temple, upon all the doors on the inside and on the outside and upon the walls was carved palm trees and cherubim and flowers blooming. I think this is a picture of that here. They're going to beat all their war tools into plowshares, go to farming. And it's going to be, the land is going to be prosperous. It's going to bear fruit. And that's what he's talking about here. It's going to bear fruit. They're all going to come together by the calling of the Lord. Right. 43rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I guess in verse 7, 43rd chapter. He said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile. It's going to come together, and they're going to be my people, and I'm going to be their God. Neither they nor their kings by their whoredoms, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in their sitting of their threshold by my thresholds, and their post by my post, and a wall between me and them. It's a whole different wall here now. Yeah. It's one on the outside. They have defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in my anger. What you could say here, this they're condemned already. Already consumed. He said, now let us put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. But they got to be cleaned up. And these things taken from them. They put a lot of stock in the temple.
Yeah.
Said, we'll go down to the temple. The temple, the temple, the temple.
Yeah. Temple of the Lord.
Yeah. And they put a lot of stock in being the descendants of Abraham. They still do. But they put all this in them. But there was a vision come that showed all of the prophets that come before of the house. They all saw it. In one fashion. No, you can't read anywhere they didn't see the house.
Right.
Then we go on, thy son of man, show the house. Well, he got to know it to show it. Show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And we're going to get the measurement back out and look at the house again. But this pattern is one of perfection. It had been measured. Lord, give them every measurement.
Yeah.
All back in the book of the Kings, he's very careful to give them exact measurements. Make no mistake about it, it wasn't just any man's arm. It was an arm of the Lord. It was a perfect measure. And if they be ashamed of all that they've done, show them the form of the house. and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof. Don't miss anything. What we want is them to come together, call a solemn assembly, and come together and see the form of the house and the perfection that is in it.
Right.
Not that old house. They tore that thing down. He said it wouldn't be one stone left upon another. So it must not be that house. It's a house of more perfection than that house. It's a house that is built with precious stones. A house that was built four square, if you will. The most holy place in this house had some bifold doors on it. Now, I still don't know why. It had bifold doors on that did. But behind those bifold doors there was a veil still.
And what was it?
In place into the most holy chamber of the house. It was still veiled. Only the high priest entered into that area to offer up sacrifices. But show them all that. Don't leave anything out. And all the ordinances thereof, and the forms thereof. And he just repeats this over and over. And all the laws thereof. Keep looking at it. Keep looking at the vision. That's where salvation is in the vision. The vision of the Lord himself. All the laws thereof, and write them. Now, we don't want them to just stay there. We want to write them in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof. It must be complete. You can't leave out one jot or one tittle. It must be complete. The whole form thereof and all the ordinance thereof, and do them. Now this is the law of the house up on the top of the mountain. The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. This is a holy house. That's the house Ezekiel saw with all the ordinances.
Yeah.
All the goings in and all the going out. And the law. It was complete. It lacked nothing. They've been trying to rewrite one ever since. But that law was complete. This is a law of the house. In the 110th Psalm, this is one Paul has mentioned quite often. My fingers get there in a minute. Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Mm. And the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. What? The whole thing. It's going to be a holy place.
Right.
All the goings in and the coming out will be of holiness.
Yeah.
The beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning What? The coming of the morning. When the Lord come and entered in to the most holy place. And sit upon the ark of the covenant of mercy. And thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up his head. And so be it. That's the way it's going to be, because he swore and he will not repent. This is our confidence that he will not repent. Back in the book of the Psalms in the 45th chapter. I don't know where to begin here either, but verse 7, I guess. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen of gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people in thy father's house. It's all about the Lord. That's what the old temple was about. The Lord. All the comings in and the goings out. All the ordinances thereof. They were all about the Lord. The Father and thy Father's house. Forget that. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord. And worship thou him. And a daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious. Within her clothing is wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in the raiment of needlework. You know where this needlework is seen? Before this, in the veil that was between the outer court and the Holy of Holies. It was made with much needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. They're going to be willing, it said, with the gladness. And rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make prince in all earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Don't call a daughter in. You know she's going to be perfect. We won't have to rework not one stone. It'll all be hewn away from the temple. And when it brought in, it'll be of one stone, all put together unto one glorious temple of the Lord.
Just so amazing among professed Christians, among professed believers, that God, the Almighty, Holy God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, and the Spirit of both, would have anything less than perfection. How could it be acceptable to Him to build a house that was not perfect? If you study again, the temple is not only the temple, there's all the furnishings of it.
Yeah.
All the vessels. Everything. Even the nails. Yeah. The fasteners. By which it was fastened. They had to be just so. And God, yes, God gave the measurement. Mm-hmm. But you know, mankind is trying to give the measurements. Always. It's mankind trying to give the measure.
Yeah, and they're sitting there both over against
you. Yep, that's exactly right. They're trying to compare theirs to His, right? But it won't work, will it? It won't work. Because what man makes is imperfect. But what God makes is so beautiful. And you know, even that is a condemnation of man. Because mankind, he loves beautiful things. Had this fellow on, I can't hardly ever think of his name. It's this talk radio host on KTRH. What is his name?
Michael Berry.
He was saying the other day, he says, I just don't understand why women are so fascinated and love diamonds so much. He said, I just can't see anything in them myself. But you see, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And what a beautiful thing that is. But not to the unsaved. It has no beauty to it. Because they're always looking on the outside, aren't they? But that temple and everything about it is a picture. It is a perfect picture of the perfection of God.
Yeah.
What a wonderful lesson this is.